And if it hadn't been for a broken foot, Dr. Ian Lipkin, one of the world's leading infectious disease investigators, would be in West Africa working on the Ebola epidemic. But since he couldn't get his boot cast into a hazmat suit, he came up with another idea. He's a professor at Columbia University's School of Public Health. Just a few weeks ago, he teamed up with Columbia's engineering school to launch this challenge for students, faculty, and alumni. Develop a low-cost, technology-driven solution to the many problems caused by Ebola in 2 weeks. And by low cost, Lipkin meant $150 or less. The entries went before a panel of judges from the engineering school. They took it very seriously. Dr. Ian Lipkin joins us from Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health. Welcome.
My pleasure to be here.
And he's joined by two students. Ritesh Patnaik, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
And we have Catherine Jin as well. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
So, Ian, start by telling us, how good were these entries?
The entries were terrific. We received 20 entries. We took roughly half, and we decided to invest in them. We're beginning the active testing, and after we give them a brief road test here at Columbia, they're going to be going into biosafety level 4 containment, where they're going to be tested against bona fide Ebola.
That's quite something. And let's hear some of the ideas. Catherine Jin, what was yours?
Hi, so I'm part of a team called Project Highlight. What we've done is created a solution that ensures 100% topical coverage of bleach on surfaces. Currently, decontamination in West Africa is run through spraying PPE suits and surfaces down with bleach mist. However, it has not been 100% effective. Actually, one doctor out of 20 contracts Ebola, and therefore the transmission is related inherently to the fact that the bleach mist is not effective in terms of decontaminating the surfaces. So currently, we're actually playing around with siphoning techniques, and we have been able to turn our project into a bleach foam.
And so it's hosed in a foam. Ian, you said it's kind of like a bubble bath. There's bubbles all over everything.
Right. So when we envisioned putting together this challenge, I reached out to my friends who were working in the field and asked them specifically what were their challenges. And they gave us a list of things they wanted to see. And one of them specifically was some sort of a better approach to decontaminating suits and people. There are actually two groups that are working with topical preparations. You've just heard about one, which uses something called a surfactant. There's another group that has specifically worked with developing a foam.
And so, Catherine, the benefit of yours, if I have this correctly, is that there will be color added so you can actually see where it goes.
Yeah, I like to think of the benefit in two ways. First, you can visualize what surfaces you've sprayed. And then second, so PPE suits are hydrophobic, which means when you spray a PPE suit down with bleach mist, the bleach mist forms water droplets and rolls off the suit. If you're in West Africa, it's hot outside, you're constantly changing your PPE suit, getting in and getting out. This bleach coverage doesn't really do that much because it's rolling off your suit. Because we're adding specific ingredients to our formula, such as a surfactant, that enables the bleach mist to actually stick to the suit. So you cover every nook and cranny of the PPE suit. So that's how you can actually guarantee that everything is being covered, as opposed to just arbitrarily spraying it down and hoping for the best.
Yeah. What's your major, Catherine?
I'm a double major in biology and computer science.
Ritesh Patnaik, what was your contribution?
Yeah, our group focused on making an all-inclusive one-piece Ebola containment suit. One for healthcare workers. Healthcare workers within our suit will be able to attend to patients for a longer period of time. In addition, we hope that they're more comfortable when they are attending to patients so that they provide better care and hopefully have less errors in judgment. And we also have one for the transportation of patients.
And one piece it seems like it's so important, Ian, because we're hearing that one of the problems with contracting Ebola is that doctors in particular, when they're taking the gloves and the helmet and the goggles off, that's when they're most likely to infect themselves?
Yes, that's precisely the problem. But actually, he's done far more than that. He and his team have come up with a way to make the suits much more comfortable. People can keep themselves cool, and they can eliminate if they need to, and they can become hydrated.
Yeah, so as Dr. Lipkin mentioned, we're looking at proper air ventilation techniques, so that way the healthcare worker or patient's able to breathe freely without any chance of the Ebola virus coming into their suit and into their system. Another thing that we looked at was a cooling system, which we have done through cooling gels, specifically placed in pulse points that can most effectively cool the body. And then finally, what we were looking at, and really one of the most exciting innovations, is a cooling pack that not only can be used to cool the chest, but also contains water with electrolytes that can be drunk by the patient or drunk by the healthcare worker so that they can keep hydrated. So like one of the main benefits of our suit is workers right now are constantly getting out of suits, putting on new suits. Hopefully our suit will be able to be used for an extended period of time. So that way we aren't using so many suits up, and also so that we can really care to the patients at a more efficient rate.
Huh. What about your suit for the patient? Tell us more about suits for the patient.
Our suit for the patient can be seen as an inverse PPE suit. This suit would ideally be put on patients who are in rural areas. And the suit provides a similar comfortable environment that the healthcare workers are in their suits, but also provides for waste regulation, whether it be for vomit or diarrhea or urine.
And we know how important that is because that's how the infection is transmitted through bodily fluids. But you're saying while the healthcare worker's suit keeps the fluids out, the suit for the sick person keeps the fluids in.
Yes. It's essentially a very similar design to our healthcare worker suit. The only difference is that we have a vomit regulation unit, which is just a collapsible funnel with a chute. And we also have a really expanded, in a way you could look at it as a diaper, but we prefer the term absorbent boxers.
I'm reading that it's lined with absorbency pads and that you called DuPont to ask about a cost for this. What was the estimate, Riddish?
For their suit, so the Tychem suit that's commonly used for in hazmat situations, they said that it was around 40 cents to produce. Of course, this was taken from a call I made to a salesperson. So they told me that I would have to verify that later on.
Yeah.
So one of the great things I liked about this initiative is we spent a lot of time in the classroom here at Columbia. We spent a lot of time studying for exams, a lot of time kind of caught in this bubble of academia. And this really gave us an opportunity to take advantage of all the things that we've learned and all the classes we've taken to apply to a real life problem that is time sensitive and needs care now.
Yeah. Ian, some of the other ideas we hear, a decontamination chamber for electronics, a communication system, a text-based to coordinate, a foldable wooden cot with a plastic covering?
Yes, these are all ideas that came from requests from people with Medicine Sans Frontières, National Institutes of Health, CDC, the European CDC. So they have problems with moving people from biocontainment in one location to another, transporting people in taxis or in other conveyances like pickup trucks. And we're continuing to get interesting ideas that are coming in from the students and sometimes from faculty as well.
Well, Dr. Ian Lipkin and both your students there, Catherine Jin, Riddish Patnaik, I'd love to stay in touch and hear as they get into development.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, sorry, by the way, about some of the explicitness of this conversation. That is the nature of Ebola. And we will follow, though, to see if any of these products are actually mass produced. You're listening to Here and Now.